See all of you. I always want to start by giving my mom, my dad, our pastor and his wife, my covering, honor for allowing me to come up here and speak to you all. And I want to give you honor, not because you listen to me, but because you made it here today. And sometimes that's a fight and that's a battle on its own. But I really think God's going to do something tonight, not because it's me, but every time I come into service, I always think God's going to do something. I do. I know God can do something. I know He can. And so if you'd stand with me, I'm going to read a quick verse. It's going to be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And it reads, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." Can we pray? Jesus, I'm so thankful for you, who you are in my life, God. I'm thankful for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. I thank you for allowing us to arrive at this beautiful facility safely, God, for the vehicles that you gave us, that you help us to have, Lord, and for the stations that give us gas so close to us. I thank you for the country that we live in, Lord, that it's not war-torn. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this service. I pray that you would have your way. And in the wonderful, precious, and mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I have a fun title. Some of you might not think it's so fun, but it's a question. It's, will you die for Him? And living for God, it takes a death. It takes a death that is desirable, typically getting rid of the ghosts of your past, the things of your past, things that you don't want, things that you try and get out of, addiction, whatever the case might be. That's a death that we all desire, but there is a death that happens that isn't so fun. There's a death that we all go through as Christians that God will use seasons in our lives to rid things from us, to get things out of us that aren't necessarily desirable in the advancement of His kingdom and for the betterment of our own selves. And let me start by talking to you about a tree. Weird, very weird turn, isn't it? It doesn't grow overnight. Its growth is slow and consistent, no matter what, and it gets nutrients, whether it's longer or shorter than others. I like trees, and what astonishes me about them is that you can look at them, and there's not one thing that you specifically focus on that you're just like, oh, that's what's beautiful about a tree. It's the tree itself. It's its stature. Trees are just fascinating to me, and I got curious one time while I was in the dentist for some reason to learn about trees and all about them. And as I went into this, I really felt God put this message on my heart. And so this has been on my heart for some time, for weeks. And as I'm reading about them, they just blow my mind and how much we can relate to a tree. It sounds silly, but if you would just bear with me. We see trees that are small, and we say they can grow. We see trees that are big, and we're in awe of their stature. There's always something to be in awe about with the tree. We see the leaves fall, and we adore them during the fall. Who are my fall people in here? I'm fall. I love fall. You pick up the leaves, you see their beauty, red, orange, yellow leaves, and you pick them up. You pick them up and you look at them, you kind of adore them for a little bit. And that's what's fascinating about trees. That's the first thing I want to compare us to. That's a death that happens in trees. Leaves, things of the past that were once alive but are now on the ground and dead. You could compare that to our testimony. You pick up something, it might be dead to you. It might be behind you. You might not want anything to do with it anymore because you know there's something new coming. But to someone else who walks by and picks up that leaf, it could mean the world to them. It could make their day. They could think it's the most beautiful thing in the world in a time where you had nothing of the sort in comparison to that. You were like, this is horrible. Get this off of me. But to someone else, it speaks volumes. Being an aviation mechanic, you have to learn a lot. There's a lot of things you take into consideration, atmosphere, temperature. There's a lot of things that go into the mechanical applications of things. And so we had to learn about the, at sea level, the pressure that we experience. And it's 14.7 PSI. And trees, just a normal tree, maybe one of these ones around here, would have about 250. And this is the tension. This is tension. This is internal pressure so that it can bring water from the bottom to the top. It's enough pressure to crush our cars. And it made me think about us. There are some times in your lives where you feel like you have so much pressure, where you feel like there's so much stuff coming against you that it just weighs you down and that you can't do it anymore. But God might allow that to be there for a reason. Now, not all weight on our shoulders is of his volition. Sometimes it's us adding some weight that shouldn't be there. But if you have ever felt that way, let me speak to you for just a moment. Great promises require great sacrifice. Unfortunately, this is something I'm learning right now. It's not fun. Sacrifice is not fun. Nothing about things in you dying is fun, but it is necessary for the advancement of God's kingdom and for your growth. It is necessary for your life force. That pressure is what is keeping you alive. I spoke not long ago that they actually make pressure chambers in the medical field to heal. There was a young lady who got stuck in a well one time. There was a doctor, when they pulled her out because of the way she was positioned, they were talking about amputating her leg because it just had lost blood flow for such a long time. And someone came up and said, let's try this pressure chamber real quick. Where some would have said, let's cut it off. Another one said, it's a simple pressure, and it healed it. As a matter of fact, the color of the bruising didn't even seem like it should have been. It wasn't even purple anymore. That's what simple pressure does. I want you to understand that pressure is necessary. A standard pump for the purpose of suction, not to push, but to suck, we can only get about 25 feet if you're trying to go vertical. You can only go about 25 feet before the pump can't handle it and it starts to boil the water because of how much pressure is suction is required. Just the trees just astonished me. About 90% of a tree, when you look at it, is dead. And there's the only thing that's alive in a tree is its leaves and a little cellulose. There's a little 2-millimeter line just past the bark. That's what's keeping that tree alive. And that's why they say to not carve into the bark or peel it off. Because it's not that tree has all that material keeping it alive, but that little bit straight behind that bark is what's keeping it alive. And let's keep trees in mind for just a moment as I move forward with my message. It might seem like I'm going all over the place, but it's going to come together. And I also learned about fungi. Weird. I've always noticed mushrooms. I've noticed different fungi around trees. Well, their roots, they actually interconnect with trees to help a tree and a tree. They both benefit from each other. A fungi's roots can span up to 15 miles, and it will interconnect with other trees, and they will all benefit from it. So you could look at a forest, and it's not a bunch of individual trees. It is literally one system. We need each other. No matter how that connection happens. I really felt in this message that some of us are going through a really hard time. I'll be honest, I am. Oh, life ain't fun. No, it is not. It has been horrible. But I know a God, and I have kept my eyes on him, and he has helped me through it. And he has given me things that I don't think I could have received any other way. Not through reading, not in any capacity that would seem natural to us. Because God works supernaturally. It might seem horrible to you. It might seem like it's unnecessary. But to God, he's going to do something that you thought he couldn't do. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, I'm going to encourage you even more. Get ready. If you prize wisdom, oh, this is the wrong verse. I lied. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. In 1 Peter, it talks about a crown of glory that we'll receive when God comes. And I dwelt on that. I wondered what that was. I was always curious about the riches in heaven that we store, but what exactly is it? Well, we have a crown that we wear right now, just like trees. That's what you call the canopy, the top of the tree with all the leaves. It's its crown. I dwelt on this. I learned, and it hit me like a truck. It was amazing. The crown of a tree is what gives life to stuff around it. Your suffering, the anguish that you go through, when God puts you in a season that you don't want to be in, myself as an example, I'm working this job. The hours aren't really fun. They're not ideal. As I think we can all relate to, I don't necessarily like everyone I work with. It's not very fun hearing the language that I do, the obscene talk, and it's very wearing on me. Sometimes at work, all I do, I found this little area I can just pray to God, and sometimes all I can utter is his name. It's so hard to even get a word out. But in the midst of all of that, me trying to be the best witness I can, being bold when I speak about the things of God and the things of the Bible because I believe they're true and I believe that they happen. I believe that that is the book of life, as I'm sure you all do as you sit in this place tonight. One thing I beat myself up over all the time was talking to people about God, and I never won them. I never got them in the church. They might have came once or twice, but then they just never stuck. And it really discouraged me, and I didn't know why. I knew I was doing the work of God. I understood it, and I understand in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily talk about winning people, but it says planting seeds, watering, and God gives the increase. And then it talks about making disciples, which there's two parts to that. People who get them in church and people who build them up in the church. And so God might equip you one way or the other. Alexis might be great at getting people in church. Brandon might be good at training them up in the ways of the Lord. Not saying that Alexis isn't, but God will equip us in different ways like that. Another reason why we need each other. I don't like my flesh at all. As a matter of fact, I hate it. I do. It's not fun. It makes me think things. And I've had to fight it at work a lot. I mean, I'll get these random thoughts that I know are not of God and that I know just came out of nowhere, and it's the devil and it's my flesh pestering me over and over again. And I get sick and tired of it if I'm honest with you. But my suffering at work has resulted in an open ear. I was sitting in our parts room. Our parts lady and another co-worker was talking. And I was sitting there because I needed her help to pull parts. And they're talking about how just some things they've gone through in life. And, you know, there's some bads, there's some ups and downs, and there's good. And he turns right to me and he's like, "I need to listen to you more." And I'm like, "Huh? What?" I'm the youngest person in that entire place. I have like the third least experience under my belt in that entire facility. And he says that to me, and I wonder why. People don't look at how good you are at your job. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't strive to be, because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. But persevere through all of that. But the biggest thing you will ever do in your job is not the check that comes. It is not how good of work you do. It is not how you work for your company, the work you do for your company. It is your witness. He looked at me and said that, and it blew my mind. It was not my work ethic. It was not how hard of a worker I am. It is not all the things I'm learning at work. It was that I am a religious man. That is what he said. I need to listen to you. And so I had a conversation with him. I invited him because in that area, they're close to Parma, and I hope he goes, if I'm honest with you. If I could be open with you about some of my personal experiences. And in that moment, God really spoke to me about my suffering. I had begged God, as Job did, to die. Yes, I did. And it is okay that I went through that. Can I just speak for a moment? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You are human. God made you to be emotional. Don't beat yourself up because you've had thoughts you shouldn't have. Turn to God in prayer and repent. God's mercy is for all of us. His grace and mercy is wonderful. And remember this as I speak, it came through death. It came through a man saying, not my will, but your will be done. God asked Jesus before he died in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I don't want to do this. Let's put this into terms, maybe in today's terms. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like getting nails, because he probably knew he was going to go on the cross. That's what they were going over with Pontius Pilate, the governor, when they were dictating who was going to get sent up, a murderer or a man who was innocent. And I'm going to end off with that. God spoke to me something about Pontius Pilate. I'll say it now. Why not? I'm sorry. Can we go to Matthew 27, 22 through 25? This blew my mind. I'll read up here. Pilate responded, then what should I do with the Jesus who is called the Messiah? They shouted back, crucify him. Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. And all the people yelled back, we will take responsibility for his death, we and our children. While I'm talking, can you go to Acts chapter 4, please? When I first read that, I'm like, oh, okay. He doesn't want Jesus to die. He made it known. Surely there's some innocence. Let's read in Acts. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. I read that and God said, you are either for me or you are against me. Pontius Pilate idly stood by, did not necessarily do anything to stop the. He had authority in that city. He was the governor. He could have saved Jesus' life if he wanted to, but he did not. He succumbed to the environment around him out of fear because he saw the riot was developing, and he said, all right, but I'm innocent. And he washed his hands in front of everybody. All right, why would you choose him? He's done nothing wrong. I don't mean to be blunt, but I do mean to be honest and speak the truth. You are either completely for God, or you might not necessarily be against him, but you're not for the advancement of the kingdom. That was Pontius Pilate's thinking. You are either sold out, or you're not. Unfortunately, it is that simple. I don't want to discourage anyone, and I hope I'm not being rude, but I want to see this church advance. I want to see us grow. We know there's promises for us. We know. We see it. In my season, and I'm sure most of you have experienced, will or are, and I believe the church right now, in the form of individual struggle, we are birthing something. Just let me speak for just a moment. That comes through suffering, and if some of our leaders don't remember, God put this on my heart to rewatch it. It was by David Wilkerson. It was called Anguish. He will put you through anguish. Oh, what is that definition? Because I ain't going to butcher it. Bear with me. Extreme, excruciating pain or distress, affecting either the body or the mind, often characterized by severe grief, misery, or helplessness. Synonyms, torture and suffering. God does not do it to harm you, but he lets you go through it. Oh, yes, he does. Not all pain is just from the devil. Not all pain is just human volition. It is God saying, I have something for you. God also spoke to me about David in his wilderness. That is someone who I've been able to relate to often. If you've seen some of his prayers in that wilderness, you would understand, whoa, he seems crazy sometimes. But this man was brought into a season of anguish. He didn't know how to express it. So he said, God, I'm hurting. I need you. But there is one part in that where he says in Psalms chapter 60, I believe, when he is in the cave before he goes out into the desert, he says, my heart is fixed. Our heart is not a sign of our emotion in the Bible. It's a sign of our will. You might have gone through hell. You might be going through all the suffering and anguish in the world. But God knows you can handle it. And he does not want you necessarily to do what Job did, because he did chastise Job in the Bible for his complaining. But he wants you to say, I'm in it. I'm not quitting. My heart is fixed. My will is fixed on you. I won't give up. I will continue to suffer because I know you have promises for me. David had the promise of a king. You know what his response was? I am the least of these. I am the least of my family. And he was. He wasn't even brought out for the selection when Saul was looking for another king because he was so low on the totem pole in his family. He had a promise. You know how long he went to the wilderness for? This discouraged me. I'm not going to lie to you. It was like 16 or 19 years. Years. He was being chased down by a man he refused to kill because he respected and honored the anointing of God, even though it was not on Saul. You know what's fascinating? He was in a desert. I don't remember the name of the desert. It was like of Sheba or Shiloh. Maybe one of you guys know. In the desert, The pressure in trees is vastly more than just that tree we see right there. It is 1,160 psi. That is hundreds of meters down into the ocean where titanium submarines are crushed because of the weight. God will put you through a wilderness and he will allow you to go through it and you'll ask why. And God's like, just wait, I have promises for you. He might have even given you some. He might have even showed you in some visions. That is where God will give you promises in anguish and the season of suffering. And in your wilderness, he will show you, keep going. Just hold on to this word. Ken Dillingham. I think he said it. There was 13 verses Job didn't know about. He knew 98% of what God was saying to him. 98%. That's probably the same for us. And we ask God to give us more. It blew my mind. We ask God, God, where am I going? What are you doing? We want the big things, but God's just like, just keep going. I've given you a promise. You're a blessed man. He allowed Job to go through that suffering because he trusted him so much. I wonder how many of us in this place, God's like, I trust you. I know you can withstand the fiery darts of the devil. I'm going to put you through some suffering because I know you want promises and blessings of God, but I need you to understand that I need to perform some suffering and some surgery in your life. Life might be hell on earth, but it sure is not going to be as horrible as it is down there. Oh, I have thought about it. The one man we hear about his response to hell begged for his family to be notified of the pain and suffering he would go through. And we said, and then he, I don't remember who he was talking to. And I don't know if it was Moses or I don't remember who. And he's like, nope, can't do that. Sorry. They're living their life the way they are. That scares me a little bit, but that's okay because we need a healthy fear of the Lord. I'm going to bounce around. I like to go in rabbit holes. Back to the crown. I wondered what that was. You know what they call women's hair? Their glory. What do they call that crown you will experience in the end times? Your crown of glory. I'm sorry, Mom. I am so sorry. I hear my mom talk about how sometimes it hurts to put her hair up in certain ways. She complains a little bit. Please, okay, she said it's all right, we're good. But I can only imagine how much it hurts. And sometimes when I'm sitting next to Brenna, there's a hair next to me, and I'll move, and I'll pull it out of her head, and she yells at me, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I am so sorry. That glory hurts sometimes. But it's a crown. It's a crown of glory. And sometimes your crown is hard to wear. Sometimes it hurts. But you are saving other people. You are giving life into your environment. You know trees, in theory, are immortal. They just keep growing. That's why you see trees thousands of years old in Egypt that were around when Jesus walked the earth. The only thing that would kill a tree is its environment. The only thing. Forest fires, people chopping them down. What's the biggest issue with trees? People chopping them down. It's not a tree just saying, I give up and just fall over. It's forest fires and people. I know your environment might be difficult to live in. I know you might be going through a forest fire. I'm sure there's some people going around you chopping down trees of Christians, chastising them, making fun of your religion. But if you remain firm in your faith, God will open up doors of witnessing you never thought possible. That's what God wants. We learned that from Brother Ken Dillingham. He cares about two things, his glory and the advancement of his kingdom. Your promises for your life, that's his mercy on you. He does not have to give that to you. I want to encourage you in a horrible season that you might be going through. While you're birthing something, you might be birthing a testimony. You might be dying in ways that will save somebody's soul. And that is the most valuable thing on earth. I can't lie to you. Yes, I want a lot of money. Who doesn't? I don't want to say that's kind of mean. I want money. Yes, I do. I want to drive a nice car. I want a big house. I want to be able to spend money and go on vacations. But I have to understand, God is not worried about that as much as I am. As much as I try and sweet talk him in prayers to why a lot of money in my bank account would be good for the kingdom. I could give a lot of money into the kingdom of God. But God understands, I don't need you. He doesn't need any of us. He doesn't. He doesn't need any of us. And please, when you witness, if I could encourage you for a moment, because this is, as I said, this is one of the biggest things that discouraged me. I didn't see people being one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, you don't have to turn to it unless you want to. I don't know. If you don't believe me, sure. I came across this at work. How do I say this? There are Christians that walk amongst us. Christians. I have a few of those at work. And I hear them talk, and they baffle me with some things they believe in. I am baffled. Sometimes your greatest enemy is not someone who's lost and seeking help, and they don't know where to find it, but it's a Christian. I'm trying to be very careful, but I'm just being honest. It's very hard to win them. I've noticed that. It's very hard to even witness to them. And I'm going to be honest with you. The Bible says, don't cast your pearl onto swine. There's a point where we have to learn how to stop, and I didn't know that. I'd keep going. I think God told me to stop. I'm going to be honest with you. I keep going. I keep trying to throw comments in there. I do. Because I'm just so burdened for people. And I just want to see them go to heaven. Any opportunity I get where I can just say, they'll say Jesus' name in vain, I'll be like, yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. You know what they say now? They say it, and then they apologize for taking my Lord's name in vain. Because I took a stance somewhere. But don't be discouraged. In that chapter, 1 Corinthians, it says that God abandoned them to their wicked thinking. He said he abandoned them to their sin. Not everyone's going to heaven. It's just a fact. I wish it wasn't like that. I do. The Bible even prophesies in Revelation there will be a huge falling away. God is bound to his word. It's going to happen. And I'm sure some of you have experienced this. I don't know how this person's going to get to heaven. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how. In 1 Philippians, verse 29, God is telling us we're going to suffer. He is. It reads this, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake. God died for our sins in the form of a human. Feeling every ounce of pain we would feel, feeling every emotion we'd feel. Fun fact, when he said, God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that moment, every sin, because he went on the cross for our sins, it says that. In that moment, every sin possible to go through, to commit, to experience, was on Jesus' shoulders at that time. The first, it even says that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was the first person on earth to walk with the Holy Spirit. A man who had God's Spirit in him, who was sinless, who was God's chosen disciple to die on the cross, to go through that pain, said, why hast thou forsaken me? It is okay if you complain to God. It is okay if you're going through something and you just feel like you can't make it another day. God is proud of you if you've made it another step forward. God is proud of you if you woke up the next day. He is. He loves you. It's okay to complain, but it's important to end that complaint. And God, my heart's fixed. I'm not going to dare give up because I have promises for my life. I do. This is just a thought. This isn't prophecy or anything. When Jesus reigns for 1,000 years and we're put in places of authority like governors and that, I've wondered if we're going to be blessed financially like that. Do we have to go through some suffering and watch other people be rich? Let's be honest here. We've all talked about Elon Musk. The man sent a Tesla up into space. He has too much money. He does. And I'd probably do the same if I had all that money. I'd get bored. But what if that 1,000 years when we will live longer lives than what we will on here, God's like, okay, these are my disciples who've suffered, who have gone through it, who have stayed in the fight, who have said, I'm not going to give up. I know you have promises for me. Maybe they were financially blessed. Maybe they weren't. But he's like, now I'm going to allow you to really see what it's like to live a blessed life like that. Don't be discouraged because you don't have a lot of money. There might come a day where God's like, I'm going to open up the floodgates. Here you go. In Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 10. Yes, I remember that because I just do. There's some verses I remember, and that is one I hold dear to my heart. He says, test me. That is the only time in the Bible God says, test me. I will put blessings into your storehouses. You won't be able to contain it all. And I'm like, God, help me to be able to contain it all because I want everything. I'm a little greedy. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. All right. I'm coming to a close too, if our musicians or whatever wants to get ready. I looked up childbirth. I did. I got curious about it because we're birthing something. And you can always find things in the natural realm that will help you in the spiritual realm and will give you insight. There's something called childbirth fear. It is a phenomenon in which the mother will have just this fear about the pain she will experience. And about 41% of women who go through childbirth say it's the most excruciating pain they've ever felt in their life. I don't know. I can't give birth. But I do know there are people in here who have, and maybe they will say the same thing, maybe they won't. But what fascinated me is in that same study, they discovered anxiety was a key factor in how much pain you experience. This is the reason God says fear is not ours. All the devil wants to do is beat you down and get the fight out of you. If you go to church, I can't say that. God is going to honor the ones in the trenches. God's going to honor the ones who did everything they could, who even though they suffered, even though they went to church a few times and didn't feel a thing, even though they had that thought in their mind, what if I gave up? Yes, I've had that thought on my mind, and I'm sure others in this place have. Those are the ones that will see it through, that God's going to be like, these are the ones that will be blessed. Those are the ones. Your anguish isn't for nothing. This season we're in, we're going to construct a building. I bet it hurts the bank account. It definitely did for me. It has. I've been almost living check to check because I felt led to give money to God. Yes, I did, but I'm also going to believe I understand His timing and that not everything that I desire, not my will is His, but His will be done. But I believe He's going to bless me because of it. I believe He will bless the church because of our sacrifice, because of our anguish. I stood right there one time. You can stand. I'm coming to a close. I stood right there. This broke my heart. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Some people I've had the privilege to have, a position in their life, and they've allowed me to speak into the life. And unfortunately, I'm a loud person by nature. And one of them overheard me saying just how much I want to give up. I've talked to a few people like that close to me who I trust. And I guess they overheard me and they walked up to me. Kevin, come here. I need you. But they walked. Oh, man, I can't cry. Dang it. They walked up to me. They went like this. Don't give up. I need you. I thought, God, how selfish I am for feeling the way I did. I did. All I wanted to do was give up. And yes, leave this earth. Job said that. Elijah said that. King David said that. Jeremiah said that. Great men of God, we all talk about how Elijah cast down fire from heaven. We all talk about how David had a phenomenal kingdom. And his son, because the anointing and the covering floweth down, King Solomon was the richest person ever to live in history. The man was so rich, he traded cities. Read it. Silver was as common as rock. He traded cities with other kings because he was so rich. I firmly believe that was because of the faithfulness of David. That same man begged God to kill him. He did. And you know what? That's okay, because he then ended it with, my heart is fixed. I'm not going to give up. I'm in the fight, God. Jeremiah often felt like his ministry amounted to nothing. But I only wonder of all the seeds that he cast down from his crown, the crown of trees, how much life that gave. You know, some of your seeds aren't even planted when you speak, it's when you walk around. That's how it happened with me and that man at work. What falls from a tree's crown? Leaves. What do leaves do? Another tree. Not all those seeds bring about trees, but there's some that stick. And they give life. You simply being an example in a workplace of what it's like to resist evil, planting seeds. You know what he said to me? He's like, vaping's hard. When you see everyone else do it, you just get this peer pressure. And he looked, and they look at you when you don't do things like that. If you have, don't beat yourself up. You got a testimony. I don't know how to do an altar call, and I know how my dad feels. Maybe if you feel like you got some weight in your shoulders that you just can't handle. If you got a situation in your life that's eating you alive, come up to this altar. If you want to, come up to this altar. We need each other. This is the body. We need each other. We need each other. God is going to let you go through some anguish. God is going to let you birth something for the advancement of his kingdom, and because he gave you a promise down the line. Perhaps it was 10 years ago. David waited years. Yes, he did. Jeremiah went through some extreme pain and suffering. But I want you to know your anguish, your suffering, and your pain. You wait and see what it will birth. You wait and see the wonderful things of God that are going to come about. Can we pray together? Together, because we are one body. Jesus, I pray for one vision in this place. God, I pray that your mighty divine hand would be over each and every individual in this place. God, we need you. God, some of us are suffering. Some of us, the anguish that you allowed us to go through, and we understand it's for your glory, and it's only going to birth something beautiful. But God, we are human, we are weak, and we need you. But we understand that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives us strength. And so I pray for strength to be delivered into this place. I pray that the anguish would only birth a greater promise than we thought. I pray that we wouldn't give up. I pray that we want to be sold out, God, that we want to sit idly by while our brothers and sisters war. Let us lift one another up. Oh, Jesus, give us burdens. Give us burdens to want to fellowship with one another more, even though we're busy. Give us burdens to want to build each other up. Give us burdens to give into your kingdom, no matter what that might look like. Oh, Jesus, birth something into us in this place. Help us as we go through this birth experience. God, we need you. We need you, Jesus. Childbirth, some of us are scared of the pain. God, sometimes it's so much to bear. But we know, Jesus, that that is only going to birth something beautiful as every mother feels. Church, keep praying. Don't stop. Make this a house of prayer. Cry out to God. Grab a believer to your left or to your right if you need to, because sometimes we just need someone to lay their hand on us and pray with us. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Restore every heart. shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing in grace. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, and great. And all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. And great are you, Lord.
Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy.
Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Yes, oh my soul.
And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
And come on, my soul.
Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Yes, come on, my soul.
And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion. And praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, But I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Would you just lift up your hands one more time? Lord Jesus, God, we've heard such an amazing word this evening, Lord, that was ordained by you, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that when we leave this place tonight, God, that we don't just think of it as another service, Lord, think of it as another message, but Lord, take it home. God, apply it to our everyday life, Lord. God, that we realize, Lord, that every day when we wake up, Lord, is a blessing from you. God, no matter how tired we get, Lord, God, no matter what gets thrown our way, no matter what lies the adversary says, Lord, God, that we can lean upon you and find our strength in you, God. Lord, we can find our strength here in your presence, Lord. God, I pray and I ask that as we leave this place tonight, God, that each and every one of us is lifted, God, with strength, Lord, with an encouragement, Lord. And God, continue, Lord, to always speak into our lives, Lord, each and every day, Lord. God, when we meet you in the prayer closet, God, Lord, when we call upon your name, Lord. And God, I ask, Lord, that each and every person here, Lord, goes into the rest of this week, Lord, with their heads lifted high. God, knowing, Lord, that we serve such an amazing God, Lord, that can do all things, God, that can overcome all things, Lord, and that we realize that everything is possible in the name of Jesus, Lord. Continue to lift us up, Lord, and continue, Lord, to lead and guide us down the straight and narrow path that you have laid out for us, Lord. God, we ask all of this in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Don't forget, the outreach team does have food in the foyer. If you would like to go and purchase some food, let's be mindful of those that are still praying up here. Amen.